Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with the never-ending worms. It's Lance and Lulu. Hey, can we hear you, Lulu?
I'm not sure.
Oh, we can't hear you. We're going to send a big signal to Jeff over there in the control room to get your mic going here. Until then, you might just have to scream and holler, jump up and down, take off your clothes.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about.
Right, we were just talking about that. Call to action. Go out and vote. Yeah. Hey, Jeff. Woo-woo. Okay, there he goes.
All right.
Okay, you're in. I don't hear you great. No.
Not.
But, oh, yeah.
There
we are. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. There I am.
Okay.
It's so funny when here. You're talking to me and here. You don't hear. You know what I was cracking up about? I looked over at Lance's list. There, it's really short.
It's getting shorter.
It's getting shorter and shorter. That's a good sign.
It is a good sign. Yeah. Well, that means we're winding it down, chopping and dropping, stopping the mowing, all kinds of good stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Waiting for the leaves to hit the ground.
I know. Isn't that a crazy thing?
Yeah. Go.
Hey, I'm going to give the phone numbers because I know people out there are just chomping at the bit to call.
Yeah.
Ask you guys questions.
Right.
970-527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. Of course, high-tech email worm@kvnf.org. Yeah, great weather. And what about the leaves here in town? And we're in Paonia. We're coming to you live from Paonia. It's like a lot of leaves on some streets, but man, there's a lot of leaves on the trees still.
There's still a lot on the trees. Yeah. And I think it was late last year.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's been getting a little later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and another thing that happens is when it's dry like that, we had a dry season, lots of times the leaves just don't fall off. They just sort of hang.
Oh, interesting.
They
just hang on there.
They sort of hang on there.
Yeah, we have to clarify something.
Yeah, what?
Leaves don't fall off. They're pushed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah.
The new bud forming underneath. The I forget exactly what the technical term is for where the leaf actually attaches to the branch. The new bud pushes the leaf off.
Oh, fascinating.
And if it's dry.
And so if it's dry,
it's not growing.
Voila. The bud didn't develop as much.
There you have it.
Lots of times in the springtime, they do because that's when they start growing again.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So could be a crazy year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to watch that as the storms come through to watch your tree getting loaded down with snow.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's always a problem.
It could happen here.
It could.
Well, you came over the pass, McClure Pass. Today,
yes, I did. I just came over. And the pass itself was clear. But the high mountains back behind Marble and all back up in there, there's a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And the other thing that I was noticing is it looks like there's a lot of water in the reservoir. And I can't figure out if it's because it just looks so different because there's so much more sediment in the reservoir there's different pools and different I don't know.
I drove by it Saturday.
And it
seemed
look
like there was
odd?
More water than I thought there would have been.
Yeah, me too.
Still slim pickings for sure.
Well, yeah, for sure. But it was backed all the way up to where that is it Anthracite Creek or Raspberry Creek? Whatever that creek is that comes down on that
nice.
Side.
Nice. We'll take it, huh?
Well, they're not letting it out because the river's clear. You know,
that's for sure. Yeah, when the river's clear.
Yeah,
because it looks like it does, you know, the world's biggest mud puddle.
Yeah.
You know, just a pure big mud puddle.
Yeah.
Classic.
So if your leaves are falling, we should be chopping those up. We can use those for mulch.
Mm-hmm.
We can mow them.
You can mow them and chop them up that way. And you can mow them into piles, like I said last time, to a certain degree. And you can, you know, mulch them. I save leaves for compost and mulching. And I have a way of storing them. And I'll use
How do you store those? What's your way?
Well, I have those big what I want to call them, bends that I've made out of slab wood. And I'll store them in there, and I put pallets on them. And two reasons. The pallets are on them to keep the wind from blowing them, and also keeps the deer from eating them.
Oh, yeah, the deer are all over
them
town.
All over town. Geez, you should see them. They are festered out all over the roads. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Poor little things. They're getting chased around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, Lance, tell us about what's going on with compost right now.
Compost? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a good time to make it for the winter. Let it sit all winter long. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that it goes into winter moist, not dry, because compost, that organic matter, absorbs a tremendous amount of water.
Right.
So even though you think it's been rained on or snowed on, you'd be surprised if you went half inch down and it's dry.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that it's moist. And
do you have to keep that moist during the winter? Or
no,
just
once
it gets moist, it
will
stays.
Stay. Yeah. It will stay there and stuff. But just mix whatever you got.
Yeah, and go see if you can round up a little manure, because that's the real catalyst for me anyway. You should see my compost bin. It's falling apart again. It does that periodically. But it was, I had it huge stacked up above the top of the sides of the bin, and it's down
settling
below.
Down.
Yeah, it's down below it now.
Yeah.
So it's settling nicely. And mine's under a roof line. So the water comes off the roof
nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, really this nice. Time of year, I've put all my hoses away, so I take my gray water. And I bucket that.
Yeah.
Throw it on there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My hoses are all the way too, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's that time.
Yeah, but also compost, I'm going to be top dressing all of the perennial flower beds, the asparagus bed, the raspberry patch. You know, do that as time allows.
Now, I don't do that, but what I'll be doing is making my garlic bed come to life, and I'll get that going. And I don't generally compost in the beds in the winter or around anything. I just leave it. I'm a real spring doer. You know, it's all about springtime for me. Feed them up, water them up, crank them up, and get them going. And this time of year,
different ways to do things.
And they all work.
Yeah,
and it all works.
I took some of my flower beds. I actually took the weed whacker to them. Just whacked everything down, raked it back into that bed, and then I'm going to put the compost on top of that.
Oh, nice.
So, and my thing is I just whack them all down and just leave them lie.
Then the snow comes, settles in.
The snow comes, yeah. Sometimes I put manure on them, but that brings other problems as well. You know, all of a sudden you got all this manure. Now you've got, you know, earwigs and roly-polies and other stuff like that. Well, it brings all that stuff. But they're there anyway.
Seeds.
And weed seeds.
Right.
But so I just let it lie. I chop it and drop it and let it lie.
The bugs are loving it right now. Wow. Box elder bugs, the little hound bugs.
They're all over the place. So here's what happens. So I sleep with my bedroom window open, right? And then I forgot to close it the other morning, and the box elder bugs got in my bedroom, and they were everywhere. Thousands of them.
It's like the a sci-fi movie
It was like that. It was really funny. I laughed so hard. I went in there. I opened the door and just went, oh.
What'd you do, vacuum them up?
Yeah, I did.
That's your preferred method.
I've done that with flies, too.
Yeah. Well, it works, you know? I mean, and especially for me. You know, how else am I going to reach them all over the place?
Right.
What are you going to do? Smash 50,000 box elder 50,000. Bugs?
I'm not kidding. 50,000?
I'm not kidding. Yeah. Really a lot. You know, then you're going to have to repaint and refumigate everything. Got all these dead box elder bugs. All no, I'm gonna, I suck them up and get rid of them.
Get rid
there
of them.
You go. Yep.
I actually have some insects in the garden still.
Yeah, what do you got going?
Well, the leafhoppers are still there, even after 20-degree nights.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Is that?
No, I don't. I can't believe you have leafhoppers and I don't.
They're mainly on the valerian, of all things.
Wow. Hmm.
And then I also have leaf miners.
Yeah, the leaf spinach, miners on the
spinach and beet
greens. And the beet greens, yep. Yeah.
And they'd be on chard, but I took the chard out.
Right.
You know.
Right. I've got them on the beet greens. But yeah. Man, I ate some. Oh, yeah, beets. I love beets, but boy, you got to remember when you eat them that you're really not dying. The next time. Yeah, that was great. I just, oh, yeah, right.
Beets. It's just rich color. That's all it is, rich color.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. Ella, I just, isn't it a trip? It's just such a trip.
It's been great. And let me give you the phone numbers, 527-486-8186, KVNF now. I'm wondering about your food pit, Lance, because we're talking about beets. Mm-hmm. You have some great carrots. Yeah, the root storage stuff.
Until it gets cold.
Oh, so still not cold enough to get that going.
Last year, I think it was until the first week of November.
Okay.
Used to do it the third or fourth week of October. But now it's, you know, and who knows, maybe in 2 weeks it's really cold and I got to do it now.
Right.
But
right.
The thing is, it's measured out. It's
ready to go as soon as.
Yeah, as soon as, you know, and I got
you're ready to go.
I got the rye straw from the garden from this year's grain crop. I got that standing there. Ready to go.
And the bales. That's what you're going to cover it with?
That's what I layer it in the bed, in the trench with. And I have the bales of hay that I cover it with.
Okay. So that's your layering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other pit, I have another pit, and that will be 2 inches of sand, then all the vegetables in it, and then 4 to 6 inches. And then I moisten that set. Of course, this year I probably don't have to moisten the sand. Yeah.
Because of rain.
There's still moisture in the ground, and it's raining. Yeah.
And you were tilling something today. You were rototilling today.
Yeah, friend's house. They called me up to rototill, and I went up there, and it rained pretty good last night. And we didn't know of it, but unbeknownst to me was that they had taken all of their potting soil from their medical marijuana plants, cannabis, and put it throughout that garden. Well, there's so much peat moss and perlite and stuff like that that it absorbed all the rain, and it was perfect conditions for tilling.
Right? Oh, nice.
Yeah, underneath. Mm-hmm. You right. Know, yeah. So it worked
Sounds
out really
beautiful.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I'm going to be tilling here at some point, but maybe depending on what it does tonight with the rain and stuff. Mm-hmm. I have to move my kennel.
Kennel?
The dog kennel.
Oh, the dog kennel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gotcha.
The kennel. Mm-hmm. It's just got to move a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Reposition it.
Yeah. And then
Planning for next year's garden.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the garlic in front of it. And then I'm thinking of doing some. I really like doing my herbs in the pots.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much more control over the whole thing. Especially the tender ones like marjoram and cilantro. Well, cilantro's not that tender, but marjoram I really like doing in the pot. And
How was basil in the pot?
Basil is perfect in the pot.
I mean, I've had friends have better luck in the pot than in the ground.
Than anything. But that's how I am with the basil, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that and parsley. I like doing parsley in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's more contained and it's easier to get at. And
right.
I don't know.
Right.
So I'm thinking I'm going to get some new pots because my old ones are dead. And
yeah. You know, and if you have a small space, it works really good.
It works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the above ground pot thing.
Yeah, I do too.
Some good results and with people's gardens.
Yeah. And my soil. neighbor Dave Dobbs had this pot. It wasn't even that big, but he had carrots in it. He must have had a zillion carrots in there in this little pot. And I thought, now that is a good way to grow carrots. Because then you're not, 60, this goofball over here.
Yeah.
60 rows.
Oh, God.
60 feet, 5 rows, whatever.
Whatever.
Thousands. Whatever. That's a lot of time on your knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know that's part of it.
Right?
It's just the up factor.
And so if you just have them in your pot, you can just go, oh, well, you know, here they are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going to get 50 carrots. Maybe that's all you need.
But your back feels good.
Yeah, and you got some for stews and stuff. And I bet you could bank them and just leave them right in there, too.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
You could bury the whole pot.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. There you go.
And then put leaves over it or whatever. Yeah. And, yeah, they'd stay there all winter. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be. Hmm.
Hey, we got a call from Ridgeway. It's Skip on the line. Good evening, Skip.
Skipperdoo, are you there?
There he is.
I have a question.
Hi.
Good.
If I want to know the square footage of area that I need to do some root crops and then in the spring do some leaf crops, what do I need to feed my family of, let's say, four, although it's only two of them?
Yeah, four.
Got any ideas?
I know how much footage you'd need for planting small grains because it's listed in a book I have.
Yeah, and I was just thinking that too. It's listed in my book too, but I don't have.
I have a bed, and it's, let's say, 4 feet wide. And if you take, it has six rows in it, and about 2.5 feet would give you, of that whole section of bed, would give you 25 pounds of carrots.
Wow.
So if you go 5 feet, you got 50 pounds of carrots, 4 feet wide, six rows. Now, I don't know what you need for the year, but that's an idea of that.
Yeah. Just trying to grow some food that, you know, instead of buying, just doing my own thing.
Yeah.
I know how many square feet I need for pot, but that's easy.
Yeah, right.
But, well, yeah.
What you got to do with greens? Well, you got the perennial greens, you know, the
sorrel and chard and
kale,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's semi-perennial, yeah.
Yeah, they'll. I plant a 4 foot section, four rows, so technically that's 16 feet, but that's one person.
Yeah.
You know,
right?
So double that or whatever.
Right, yeah. Something like that. You know, when I was harvesting my collards this year, I was thinking that my kale, my collards, and my kale and my collards are really and my arugula are probably the plants that save me the most. I get the most bang for my buck out of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And if I would say you could harvest, God, I can't remember now how many bags of collard greens I have, but it's like 24 or 25 bags with 4 cups in each bag. And I bet I grew those collards in 2 feet, 4 feet, let's see, 4 by 10, 40 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. That's a nice yield.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another way
that's a good, just so people know, you know, what they need in their yard and that kind of thing. And then, shop the farmers markets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to do lettuce or cilantro, I plant that. I plant that every 10 days. 10 days to 2 weeks.
And you plant little patches of it.
Yeah. You want, say you're eating 14 heads of lettuce. So you only want to plant enough space that has 14 heads.
Yeah.
And you plant that every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Cool.
Just keep that moving.
Right. And just keep moving it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you'll figure it out as you go, you know, and plant what you want to eat, right? And
well, I'm getting ready to do my compost pile.
We just moved
down the Ridgeway from up higher in the mountains. So I'm getting ready to start another compost. I used to live in Crawford, so I love you guys.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
we're getting closer. We're getting closer.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Thank you, Skip.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks. Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I mean, like for instance, corn. It's so much easier to just buy corn and put up what you want to put up, and let the guys that have 3,000 acres grow it.
Right. And yeah. There's.
I think that everybody should grow their own fresh greens and herbs.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Everybody has the ability to do that. That
pretty easily.
Potatoes are easy to buy. Beans or,
exactly.
Corn, as Lulu just said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can have your tomato plants.
Right. Yeah. Or some things like broccoli that, you know, can have difficult years and have a hard time crowning out and that kind of thing.
Phil and Willie's broccoli, you should see it. They have these trophy plants. They are gorgeous. They never made a head of broccoli.
No kidding. Mm-mm. Yeah.
See, you know, tiny little heads here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, go with that. And that was exactly what I meant by the, you know, kale and the collards and the kale and the collards. Mm-hmm. That's where you get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, right, right. It's hard to screw that one up.
You guys have been in my garden. Yeah. I only need two beds to take care of myself.
Right.
Two beds, 4 feet by 50. That's all I need.
Uh-huh.
And I got, you know, four times that amount.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, right. Interesting.
But does fresh vegetables, that's all I need. That mm-hmm. would be 4 by 50 is 400 square feet.
Okay.
Right. And that's my story at my house too. I've got four spots where I grow food, and none of them are huge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I produce more than I need. I always grow my own garlic because that goes into the pesto. Mm-hmm. So that's one more thing that you can save money on, because God knows you're going to be spending it on the olive oil and the walnuts and the cheese, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so there you are. You know, but even that, you know, it's like, really, garlic? I mean, you know, it's a dime a dozen. But I've got that.
It's another easy
one. It's another
though.
Really super easy, mm-hmm. you know, any idiot proof one.
And you're going to use it.
And I'm going to use it. And I've got that that garlic that's been on my property mm-hmm. since day one.
Wow.
Since who knows which one of the original owners of that property planted it. But it's that beautiful purple striped mm-hmm. walking Egyptian, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You
nice.
Know, easy to peel, nice mild flavor. I mean, what more do you want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm hmm. And Lance, you're doing, or you said earlier that you can still plant an early spring bed.
Oh, prepping. I wouldn't plant it right now.
Not now.
No, because
you're going to wait a little bit.
I'm going to wait, because at this point, if the things come up, they won't be big enough to winter over.
To stand the winter.
Okay.
Now, if you had planted them mid-September, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That spinach and some of those kind of things will actually winter over, but I'm going to plant them around Thanksgiving. And I'll plant lettuce, and I'll plant spinach, and I'll put cilantro in there, even though cilantro volunteers all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll put parsley in there. I don't have any parsnip seeds, but parsnip seeds do really good planted in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else can you do?
And those will be ready to harvest in the spring.
They'll come up in March.
They'll come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come up in March, and they'll be ready probably in...
When they're ready.
April. It depends on actually how warm it is.
Right. Are those seeds that need to be cold stratified?
Do good with it, yeah.
They do good with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not all seeds do, but lettuce really likes to be cold stratified, and so does spinach. Carrots do not work that well this way.
Carrots are tricky.
Yeah. I've tried
carrots
it.
Can be tricky.
Yeah. They don't, you know, so I get a few volunteers over the years, but I don't get a large patch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, beets would actually work better.
Okay.
You know. Maybe even some green onion type things.
Beets is another one I really like to grow.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Easy.
And you get
know,
two crops.
And you get two crops. Yeah, you get the greens and you get the beets.
Yeah, nice.
And if you're, you know, behind the eight ball like I am this year with so many apples and other priorities, you just leave the beets in there. You just don't even have to worry about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I could bank them and have them for next spring, but I'm going to probably freeze them.
They store really good. They're extremely hardy.
Underground, yeah.
Right on the ground, even though they're shoulders, it's amazing how well they survive.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you hardly have to mulch them.
I just harvested
two Chioggia beets. They were probably, if you had, they would be bigger than a softball if they were actually round.
Ooh.
Wow.
And that's big. Yeah.
Oh, I got a big one. I'm going to go look at my big one. I got a really big one. I think it's a Detroit red.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice.
It's huge. I saw it the other day. But I'm going to leave them. And then just, I don't know.
Oh, you're leaving them over the winter?
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. no. I like
maybe,
eating them.
Maybe, maybe not.
You can take them to the ranch.
Yeah, I'll take them over there, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'll freeze them up too, so.
Good deal. And you can still plant cover crops, right?
Oh, yeah.
Winter grains.
Cover crops. You can still do rye, Austin and winter pea, some of the clovers, that kind of stuff. You can still do it. And winter grains, yes, you can still do it. And at this point, the ground's moist enough, you probably don't need to water.
Nice. I kind of like that.
Oh, you got to love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of a good way to end up the whole chopping, dropping, and winding down the season is to put some more plants in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. One year in Carbondale, I decided I was going to do spring spinach, and I planted it late, and I saw it starting to come up in December.
No kidding.
Yeah, we had a bizarre year, and it, you know, it was coming. The leaves were getting pushed up. I'm looking out my kitchen window going, what the heck is going on? Oh.
It's winter spinach.
Yeah, it was winter spinach, and I got all worried about it, but, you know, I just went skiing instead. And there it was. It, you know, did fine. And it was there in the spring. It came right back. You know, there were some dead parts, but most of it was
just fine.
There
resurrected
and ready
itself.
To go. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One year I'd left a patch of spinach, and I totally forgot that it was there. And we had 18 inches of snow in this one pot. It's like, it's melting. What is that one spot over there melting out? And I went out there, and it was the spinach growing underneath the lettuce.
Yeah,
the snow.
Under the snow. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
And what about seeding a lawn now, Lance? A lot of people think you should seed a lawn.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend, and he was worried about it because he had seeded a lawn, and it was in early October. Generally speaking, you don't seed lawns after the October 1st because not that it doesn't come up. That's not the problem. The problem is the
roots. Doesn't have a root system.
Mm-hmm. Does not have the root system to survive a cold or dry winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really, so again, if you wanted to plant a fall planted lawn for next spring, plant it in November.
Okay.
Plant it in November, early December.
Because it's not going to come up.
It's
just going to stay dormant.
Right.
Yeah, and then
like
it'll come up
veggies.
At the crack of spring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spring. I'm going to try and fill in the holes in my lawn. I'm sick of stumbling around in my lawn. So I'm going to try. I really am.
Go for this patches.
Year, yeah. This spring, I'm really going to try and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Good deal. Wow, that went fast. Another half an hour of exciting news information and Skip calling from Ridgeway trying to feed a family down there and how much to plant. Thank you, Skip, for listening, everybody.
That's awesome.
We're going to be back next Tuesday to talk more about winding down the season. Yeah. And you can send your emails in the meantime to worm@kvnf.org. It's going to be Tara coming up next on KVNF with One Woman's Perspective. Lance, Lulu, as usual, so much fun. Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Really fun.
See you next week. Thanks for listening to KVNF.
Good night, everybody.
You are equipped with taillight and neon. You've got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.